Welcome to Small Business Big Network, the podcast for small business owners who want big results from their networking. I'm Liz Drury, a freelance voiceover artist who knows that if you're not working, then networking could help. James West is the co-founder of the Only Network, that's O-N-L-E, the network for people that like people. Over the years, James has found that networking has not only been good for his business, but also his mental health, and he even met his wife through networking. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today, James.
Hi, Liz. Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
You're the co-founder of the Only Network and co-founder of Clean Slate Websites. But first of all, let's have a little dig into your past. What was it that you did at university and what did you want to be when you were that age?
My life was weird because most people start off wanting to do one thing and become something. I did the thing that I wanted to do. I wanted to be a journalist when I was a kid. I'd like to say because I had lofty ideals around maybe changing the way people communicate and disseminate information and make the world a better place, but it was actually because I liked Spider-Man and I thought it looked like it was a good place to work as on a newspaper. So yeah, I went to university and studied journalism back in the time when most universities, it was quite hard to find someone that did a journalism degree because it's not that academic, but that is what I did.
And what did you do after that? What was your first job?
Yeah, so I worked did a call centre and then ended up working for a magazine, editing a magazine that was about call centres.
Oh, really?
Which was quite good. So my first article was actually about why call centres maybe trip over themselves and don't get the result that they're measuring. But yeah, I mean, it was a great experience because I was very much thrown in at the deep end. 21-year-old out of university, turned up on the job, and the then editor, who became a good friend of mine, said, oh, right, there's 5 magazines going out next week. I'm on holiday. There's a list.
Wow.
Get on with it. So, yeah, it was good. I did a lot of writing, as you can imagine, but I also did a lot of, and this is relevant for, I think, what I do now. I had to do business.
Yeah.
I had to learn. A lot of journalists, a lot of writers kind of do their piece of work in a silo. You know, you sit there and you write, whereas I was involved in laying out the pages. I was involved in advertising, so I got an understanding of balancing the needs of advertising with quality editorial and kind of got involved in lots of parts of the business. So it was a good education, Liz.
Yeah. But was being a journalist what you thought it would be when you were a kid?
No, there was no secret web swinging or anything like that going on. I enjoyed it. I mean, this was like, what, late 90s into 2000s when it was a cool profession. I didn't love the topic. I was writing about business IT, which was something that I didn't know anything about. Like a lot of things, it comes down to people, doesn't it? And there were good people.
Yeah.
And it was the glory days where journalists, the PR firms would want to take you out to posh restaurants and butter you up and, you know, checkbook journalism. Not quite to that level, but it was good times. There was a lot of drinking, a lot of fun involved. And I always loved the deadline. I liked working with the team, getting the magazine finished on the day and that kind of thing. And obviously writing, which is something that I can't say I love. I probably did too much of it, but, you know, I'm good at it.
Yeah, yeah. I was having a look at your LinkedIn profile and saw that you spent 10 years involved in the service desk and IT support show. Please tell me that was more interesting than it sounds.
Oh, I shouldn't say what I... Yeah, because I've got friends there. But, it wasn't my favourite. And do you know what? That was one of the things that precipitated moving into, you know, running my own business. And I had a weird kind of shift from being a, so I was a journalist working for magazines. Because we came out of that glory time where magazines were making good money because they had a captive audience for the advertisers, and then the internet came along.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny now, we talk about AI kind of taking jobs away. I was at that point where the internet made some of the magazines that I edit almost obsolete overnight.
Yeah, yeah.
And it went wrong very quickly in that, you know, I was working one day and the receivers came in and said, you don't have a job anymore.
Wow.
And I just had to go home and say to my then partner, we had our second child, I don't have a job. And this, I tell you what, Liz, this was one of my first lessons in networking, actually, that never burn bridges with people and treat people with respect, irrespective of whether you think they can help you or not.
Yeah.
Because I tell you what happened, I left there. A lot of the journalists that I knew, I didn't like them. They were quite arrogant, kind of looked down at a lot of the PR and marketing people, because as the journalists, they were all trying to, you know, get you to, you know, place their client, write about their client, that kind of thing. And a lot of the journalists were ridiculously rude to the point that they'd make some of the PR people cry. And whereas I always believed in just treat people with respect. If I don't have time, I'll tell you, but it'll be polite.
Yeah.
I'm on a deadline. So when I didn't have a job, I put in a few calls to some of the marketing people that I had good relationships with. And within, I can't even think that there was any like lack of continuity. I became a bit, I ran a business. I had freelance clients almost overnight. And that, you know, I still remember that lesson to this day, that don't burn bridges and treat people well, because you never know that they might be able to help you one day.
Yeah, absolutely. So would you say that you've always been a networker?
No. Right, what have I got in my favour? I'm really interested in people. That was one of the reasons behind journalism, that it's an excuse to talk to people, in my view. I like writing and I like people. I find people endlessly fascinating. I'm always saying to Kelly, my wife, like, isn't it amazing how everyone's just so different? Once you kind of, you don't even have to dig that far. And I always, that sounds a bit stupid, like, why does everyone look so different when fundamentally our faces are the same layout? But I'm sounding a bit mad there. But I love people. I'm fascinated by people. So I had that in my favour. But for me, networking wasn't natural. And you know what? Just to reassure anyone that thinks, oh, this is easy for this guy who runs a networking group, I actually don't think networking, in the sense that most of us then do kind of formalised business networking, I don't think it's natural for anyone. And we can talk about that if you want.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me why.
Well, what I can't think of any other thing that I've encountered in life that I can use to kind of mimic it or learn that method. It sort of, you know, I think of it in terms of, right, what business skills? And okay, so I was a writer, so I found it pretty easy to adapt writing onto doing social media, for example.
Yeah. Right?
There's normally a parallel between certain skills that you can say there's an overlap.
Yeah.
Like networking, for me, exists as this weird little... I think the problem with networking is that you have to do the opposite of what you would naturally do or want to do. Because most of us go to the network, a networking group, and I'll share my first awful foray into networking. I think most of us go networking because we want business, basically.
Yeah.
And that's, by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. Of course we do. We need to get business. But the problem is it drives the behaviour that is the opposite of the thing that's going to help you get a result from networking. Does that resonate with you,
absolutely,
with your experience?
Yeah, so tell me what happened at your first networking meeting and why it was so awful.
I went to a BNI meeting. My accountant said, go to this BNI meeting. And by the way, BNI, if you don't know, it's the global leader. They invented formalised business networking. Some people don't like it. It's diverse. They are. It's quite, they make you work.
Yeah.
They make you do the things that are going to drive a networking result. So you have to have the one-to-ones, you have to bring referrals. It works. I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself here. But I always feel like when I talk about BNI, people think you're going to trash BNI because you run a network. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for BNI. And you'd be churlish to say that BNI doesn't work, because of course it works. Otherwise it wouldn't exist. We did very well at BNI. BNI is also a very good teaching ground for, because you have to do the things that give you a result at networking. It helps teach. there are downsides to BNI, and that's the bit that people sometimes say, oh, I don't like BNI. But anyway, I digress. I went to BNI, didn't have a clue I'm already disorientated because it's 6:30 in the morning.
Yes.
You know, and I'm trying to have a conversation in a pub. None of this is making any sense to me. And I got speaking to a couple of people, didn't really understand why I was talking to those people. Did my introduction, wrapped up, left, didn't get any business and thought, what a waste of time, didn't go back for 3 months. Like, I was the thing that I would now look at people and go, oh, come on, give it a chance.
Yes.
And I didn't.
Yeah.
It was a straightforward cause and effect. I've done that thing. I haven't got a result. And therefore, I didn't go back and didn't understand the concept of networking. So, yeah, if you've ever done that and thought it doesn't work, I get that.
So what made you want to try it again then? And how did you approach it differently?
Yeah, that's funny. And I was thinking about this the other day. Why did I go? But I think because I just still needed work. And my accountant had said, you've got to give it time to breathe and, you know, get to know people. And I went back not knowing how to sell myself. Because the thing that people stress about networking, what am I going to say in my intro? Oh, what am I going to say in my intro? Because it's so important. I've got to say this thing and then they're going to want to buy from me. Please, how do I do it? And people get so tight about it. I always say to people, you are the only person that's that bothered about what you are going to say.
Yes.
Because everyone else at a networking event is thinking, right, I'm going to go next and then I'm going to say this. Like, stop worrying about it because they're not worried about it. So that's the first thing you can do to defuse it. But because I didn't know how to sell at networking, I didn't even bother.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether this was something I consciously thought of, but I'll tell you what. I'm pretty much sure it was. I was so uncomfortable, Liz, and out of my depth that I resorted to what I knew, which was going back to my journalistic days of I'm just going to go in, I'm going to talk to people and I'm going to ask them about them.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not going to make it about me. I'm going to find out about them because then maybe I can learn how they do it. And then maybe as a result of that, something will happen for me. That was my sort of crude line of thinking. And do you know what? If there was any kind of thought or intelligence that went into that decision, it turned out to be the right one, certainly for me, because once I did that, everyone wanted to talk to me.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
Like, there's that thing, isn't there, that people love talking about themselves. I've never spoken to anyone at a networking event that went, I don't want to talk about me. Why are you asking me questions? People love it. And of course, what you've done there is fed people's natural, everyone wants to go to networking and be heard. Well, fine, fuel that then.
Yeah.
Give people what they want. But then, of course, what happened was is that, A, people then looked at me favourably. James is a nice guy. He asked me all these questions. By the way, I was interested because I was trying to learn about how they network and how they've built their business, which is a good tip for networking, unless you think you know it all. Bad. Don't do that because I'm still learning and we're all still learning. We should be. I find it easier to then break the ice and get into conversations. People then opened up. They were more comfortable talking to me. They started telling me, Liz, exactly what I could do to help them solve their business problems.
Yeah.
Because this was the bit I didn't say. When I first went to networking, this was my little streak of sort of ignorance, borderline arrogance. I'm a journalist. I'm a writer. People are going to want to work with me. I'll just tell them that I'm a journalist, right? And you stand up at network and you go, I'm a journalist. And everyone goes, yeah, so? Like, because, and this is true about any industry, the thing that you do, like, and it don't matter, you can tell people I've done it for 20 years or I've got this deep-seated experience. Sorry to burst your bubble. No one cares.
Yeah.
No one cared that I was a journalist. I'll tell you what they did care about when I started telling them that I could solve problems. That's when they became interested. So the conversations that I started having at networking about content and writing, because, you know, generally people, not everyone, but if you ask people questions for about half an hour, most people at some point catch themselves and go, hang on, I should really ask you a question.
Yes, yeah.
Not always, but typically at that point, so then they'd ask me about me. And then but what were the conversations back then? Two things. Oh, I really need to get my head around this Twitter thing. that kept coming up, Liz. Twitter. And I'm like, well, I've built some, you could actually build communities and lists on Twitter. Mm. And I had quite a good following, and I'd kind of worked out, you know, I just knew how to do it, or you know, to a reasonable level that was far in advance of most small business owners' understanding. So I'm like, oh, so they need help with Twitter. And then the other thing that came up, people would talk about, so I might get into a conversation about blogging. And again, like, it's like social media. No one actually cares about doing social media or blogging. They don't. What they actually do it for is because they're hoping to get a result.
Yep.
Which, if you then drill that down a little bit further, everyone's just hoping to get attention. That's why we do these things. So I got into conversations about blogs, and then people started saying, well, I could do a blog, good for SEO, maybe give me something to share, give me something to, you know, engagement. But do you know what? I don't even know where to start on my website. I have to speak to a guy and he tells me it will take a month just to update my blog, right?
Mm.
So my first foray into then honing my message around what I sold at networking was, I can help you with Twitter. And that gave me some traction. That got me some business because I started doing some consultancy on that. And the next thing I did was, do you know what? I can blog for you, but I'm starting to learn that most of you have got a website that you can't manage yourself.
Mm.
So, and most content providers are separate from website builders. I can do both. Why don't I sell that as a service and it becomes, you know, housed in one place? And that became my positioning. That became the thing that I sell at networking. And that's how I built my businesses, through that. And it all came from listening. Yeah. And what I see a lot of people doing at networking is just going, I'm going to keep saying the same thing over and over. And if I say it to enough people, they're going to buy. And I'm sorry to burst your bubble, they're not. Until you work out the words that resonate with them,
yep.
Until you can basically solve a problem for them. So yeah. That's how it worked for me, Liz.
Tell them what they want to hear and how you can help them. So at what point then did you decide to start your own network, and why did you decide to start your own network?
There's so many answers to this question. So I love networking, first and foremost. So when I got into BNI, which then became a spin-off group, and I did that for 10 years, got all of my business from it. So, you know, professionally, I had a lot of time for networking because, you know, in lieu of having a really kind of robust marketing strategy, which particularly in this day and age is really hard to do because of the noise that's out there, I think pound for pound, networking is the best way for small businesses to get customers.
Yeah,
I do. And I will stand by that if you do it properly. So I was a fan from a, you know, production point of view. It gave me what I was looking for. But also, I got the bit that no one goes into networking for, but a lot of people stay for. The camaraderie, the support, the connection.
Yeah.
This is what I've learned in later days. Connection. I had really poor mental health through a particular period of my life before I met my wife. And networking was the one place that I went to where I felt myself and I felt okay.
Yeah.
And it was only much later on when I read the book Lost Connections by Johan Hari. Great book if you're interested in the mechanics of networking and how people interact with each other. That I was like, that's what it gave me. It gave me meaningful connection. And if we as human beings end up without meaningful connection, particularly if you're a people person, you're going to end up in a bad way. And I ended up in a very bad way. So I love networking for the result. I love networking for the mental health, for the connection that it gave me. And then to top it off, I then met my wife at a networking event.
Great result, I would say.
it did work out quite well. And we met Liz. We you know, I wasn't even married before. I didn't understand why people did it. We met and it was a bolt of lightning. Like, not only did I not understand why people got married, before, I now don't, I can't imagine a world where I'm not married to Kelly.
Yeah.
And that happened almost within a week. So we wanted to be together. We wanted to do a business together. And we started off building websites together. We became authorized Squarespace trainers, which is the clean slate bit that you refer to. Mm-hmm. Because it plugged into my skill set, her skill set, and we wanted to work together. But the way I describe why did we move from, because we had a good website business, we were doing really well. Why did we then, we didn't drop it straight away, we built only in the background. But why prioritize that when we could have built the website business? Very simply, and this might be helpful for your listeners, one of those businesses, websites, gave me a sense of satisfaction and gave me income. Networking gives me goosebumps. That's the difference, because networking, it for me, is there's a tangibleness to human relationships that, like, a website's a website, and it can be a useful business tool, but I don't have an emotional, like, we had to make websites emotional by almost becoming champions of people that had been ripped off by web designers that had just blinded them with jargon and psychobabble, and like ripped them off, quite frankly. So we made it about, we want to help you, it was what it's called, clean slate. We want to show you that, look, we're going to show you your website, you're going to be able to edit yourself, and there's no smoke and mirrors about what we do and how we charge.
Yeah.
So that was the closest we could get to making it about people. But it doesn't kind of get you revved up, doesn't get you out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
That was the difference. So networking, and now, you know, obviously because of all the reasons we love networking, wouldn't it be amazing if we could build a network? There were two things. Why did we build only the way we did? So only, if you don't know, is the network for people that like people, which is a great line. I wish I'd written it, but I didn't. It was Sean Goldsmith, a friend of ours, but he said it, I took it, and I thank him for it. So cheers, Sean. Network for people that like people sums us up beautifully. What could we do differently? Well, I was getting tired of going to networking and feeling like I have to refer people, even if I don't think they're appropriate for the person I'm referring to. That, and I'd argue this with, you know, the head of BNI, that's one of the limitations of BNI, that you have to circumvent the rule that says you're supposed to refer within the room. You have to, because it's your reputation.
Yes.
If you want to be taken seriously as a good networker, you might have to circumvent the room. And also, that model of you have to do things, you have to turn up, you have to bring visitors, makes no concession for the human being.
Mm.
And for me, who'd had mental health problems, I never took days off sick. But, you know, do I need that pressure in my life? And do I end up just doing things to tick a box rather than them being a meaningful contribution to my network? So our contention was, can we run a network without the rules and protocols that get in the way of building a business and building relationships? That was, because we didn't see that in the market.
Yeah.
But that still had a professional slant, you know, because you can go and have a coffee morning, but don't expect to get any work from it.
Yeah.
That was the difference. So that was the kind of theory about, can we do that kind of networking? We'd love to go to that network. And then on the other side, what about this online bit? Like, you know, this wasn't being talked about in 2018 when we formed Only, that we're doing this in-person networking and it's beautiful and it's magical and it does all this stuff, but wow, it's limited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got the 10 miles that people might drive, but, you know, I am not meeting huge swathes of people that might end up being my best friend because by virtue of the restriction of it being in person. So would it be amazing if we could tap into the potential of what this online bit gives us? You know, and you got to remember, this is before LinkedIn became, that was like the boring social media that no one wanted to use. And, you know, this was very early days, but Only actually stands for online networking live experiences, because it was the combination of the two, the relationship first, and can we bring an online component in that gives us the best of both worlds?
Yeah.
That was the thought there. And as you can imagine, When we launched 2018, we did a pilot meeting. 18 people turned up and 17 of them joined.
That's so a pretty good return, yeah.
we're probably onto something, but you know, I don't know if you want to go into the online piece or you want to move the conversation somewhere else.
Well, I was going to ask you about the format of your meetings and whether it's changed at all since you started. Because I mean, when you started pre-pandemic, as you say, not many people were doing the whole online thing. Do you think did that have any effect on how you were running your business since you were already online?
Yeah, well, we were piloting online. So if you came to Only in 2019, 2020, I think we were in 14 locations at that point, like physical locations. Mm-hmm. We were trying to get the online component off the ground by running Zoom meetings. And we had some, like, people, my wife in particular is a magnet. People love her. People like us. People like what we were trying to do. Mm. And even our biggest fans were saying to us, they come to the online meetings and they go, yeah, that's a novelty. That's quite good. But no, thank you.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't work. It's a novelty. It's not going to, there's no able replacement they just couldn't see it. They just didn't get it. And we kept going and we did that for 18 months and we just kept trying to get traction. No. And then we went into lockdown. And do you know what? We were so fortunate at that point because most of the networking organisations had to work out how to do it because they had no choice. And do you remember, this is weird. Like, I can remember reading announcements going, oh, we're cancelling the next month's networking meeting. We'll see you next month. Like, we honestly thought, didn't we? Do you remember this? That it was probably going to be a couple of weeks. And, you know, I mean, it still blows my mind that we've almost forgotten that happened. But so most networks had to try and work out, and we heard horror stories that people were on these Zoom calls and the host doesn't know what they're doing and that doesn't work. Whereas we spent 18 months. So we knew what worked online and what didn't. We'd already introduced breakout rooms so you could have in-meeting one-to-ones. Which was, you know, that was a massive upgrade because that's not possible to do in person very easily without a lot of logistical juggling. So we'd worked out what to trim, what to add, you know, the energy that you need to bring, how to do the breakout rooms and all that stuff. So it just gave us a massive advantage. And overnight we just said, right, we're an online network. And we never went back. And I think, again, that's really been a benefit for us because most networks are trying to do a hybrid model. And what we found is that that's fine. There's two problems with that. One is that most people have got a preference for one over the other and then will attend one over the other. So you effectively end up with two networks, which doesn't really make a lot of sense. And then the other problem is for us, inclusion is really important. You know, what we found through lockdown is that a lot of people that hated networking suddenly had a home. And I'll use broad terms, and I don't like doing this, but it will help the listeners understand what we mean. In-person networking favours the extrovert.
Yeah.
Because extroverts are comfortable. They can do small talk. They're comfortable in the space. They can get into conversations, whereas more broadly introverted people struggle. They don't like that. They don't know how to, you know, all those free people. I get this. Like, what do I do? Do I walk up and say, oh, hi, this is me? Like, what do you do? What's the protocol? And online suddenly made it very structured. You know, we're all in a box. We're all the same size. And the meeting's mapped out for me, so I don't have to work out where I'm going next. And so for us, we didn't want to get to a place where we'd become inclusive, because the great thing with online, you know, your preference and your accessibility is two different things. But, you know, everyone can do online networking. Doesn't matter where you are, what your circumstances are, whether you've got young kids. We've got a disabled daughter. We have to be responsive to her needs.
Yeah.
So we can't go and have, you know, breakfasts 2 days a week out and about. We don't have time to do it. So if we did an in-person component, all those people that we'd worked hard to include suddenly couldn't get involved and we split the network. So it seems to be working very well for us.
Yeah.
Now.
So tell me what the format of a typical meeting is.
Yeah, so if you've ever been to network, it's actually not that different because we have to introduce ourselves. We ask a question that's linked to our discussion topic because we want to get to know the person rather than just the pitch. So we do an introduction question. We do two breakout rooms. We try and pair people up with two different people so they get a chance to speak to someone in the meeting. We do a discussion topic. Small business topics, so it might be marketing, sales, and we do a summary of a video recording because I interview a subject expert. And then we wrap up with asking knowledge, you know, what have you brought to the network? Have you got a specific ask? So structurally, it's not that different, but we pack in a lot more. I mean, most of our meetings are about 75 minutes long, you know. My in-person networking were strictly 90 minutes plus the, you know, the hour before and after where you're having other chats with people.
Yeah. And how many members do you have now and whereabouts are they? Because they're not all in the UK, are they?
No, great point. 350 members. We've got 22 UK groups and two in the US with a third launching in May. That's the cool bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a bit, you know, disparaging towards. So we've got a Scotland group. Like, that blows my mind because, you know, having networked mostly around Winchester, Southampton, where we're from, the fact that we've now got friends and people that we work with in Scotland absolutely blows my mind. But then if you transpose that to New York and Atlanta, and, you know, that completely dispels when people say our online networking doesn't work. It might not work for you and it might not be your preference, but that doesn't mean it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You just need to find, and it might not ever suit you. So I'm not, you know, we get into this like stupid one works, one, it's irrelevant. Like, everyone's got a preference. I preferred in-person networking. I now far prefer online. Like, in person for me is exhausting now, and I don't know where to start, and I haven't got any business cards anymore. Like, I've just got really comfortable online because I feel like people actually, particularly one-to-ones, pay more attention because there's not all the background distractions. Yeah. But anyway, like, if you think that online networking doesn't work and you look at one of our members like Brian, who's in North Carolina, who's become a friend, like, he's become a proper friend of ours. He did $30,000 of business in 6 months into a predominantly UK audience through online networking. Like, that for me is there's your evidence that it's not the medium, it's the approach. And don't get me wrong, Brian talks about you need a clear, consistent marketing message. You need to be able to show the symptoms of a referral. If you're just turning up at networking, not really listening, pop, you know, you kind of scrabble together an introduction, you don't really know what you're trying to do, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But that goes for all networking if you don't really have an approach. And also, if you don't listen to other people, I think there's a tendency online that people, they do their bit and they forget that we can see that you're in the background doing an email and not listening to anyone else. I can't do much about that. But going back to your question, yeah, I mean, we've only scratched the surface. But the fact that we've got the two now free US groups, for me, that's the most exciting bit. We got a guy joined from El Salvador. I had to look it up on a world map. Like, where's that? It's exciting. It's very exciting.
That's brilliant. So finally then, James, if people want to find out more about Only and want to give one of your meetings a go, what's the best place for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, so look me up on LinkedIn. You should find me. Only spelt with an E, so O-N-L-E. The website is theonly.network. Look me up on LinkedIn. If you've listened today and you like what you hear, we do a training course that's free online, how to network online. Maybe you could put that in the notes because anyone could come along to that. You don't have to be a member. But if people want to connect with me on LinkedIn, just look me up at Only Networking. And we're always happy to invite people for a visit to come and have a look.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much for being my guest today. I've really enjoyed our conversation about one of our favourite topics, networking. And yeah, best of luck with Omely going forward.
Thanks, Liz.
Thanks for listening to Small Business Big Network. If you found this podcast useful, please do rate, review and subscribe. And don't forget to share it with the rest of your network too.